some other things and made some time for the picnic. It's wonderful that we can be together to do that. Gwen Greenwald, who was the organizer up there, I really want to thank her and Jeff. Gwen was here this morning before I was, and there's something wrong with that, before the pastor, right? So I got to get her earlier next time. But it's a wonderful, wonderful day, and so I appreciate all of you making the time for that. You know, in the gospel lesson today, we hear a lot of teachings from Jesus about where we put our faith, our priorities. And he says, you know, you ought to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek that first. That should be a priority. You should put your time in that first, and then all those other things will fall into place. You know, I wonder, you know, Jesus hasn't seen my schedule recently. Has he looked at yours? I mean, he can teach that stuff, right? I mean, he can say that stuff, but Lord, is this just an ideological, idealistic statement? Because you don't know the meetings I've got coming up. You don't know the things I've got to do with kids in college and kids still in high school. You don't know the community things I'm involved in and what I've got here in the church. You know, the last 7 days has been real busy around here. We've started to meet with our administrative boards again. We take July off. It's kind of a Sabbath month for us as a church. But with the administrative boards are meeting. We've had meetings about small groups. We've had finance. We've had trustees. We had the administrative council. And I'm thinking to myself, all I can do is just seek to get things done day by day, let alone seek God's kingdom, right? I mean, it gets busy around here. It gets busy. Are any of you a little busy? The schedule kind of adds up, doesn't it? So we here at Our Redeemers, and I hope the video will work this time, we here at Our Redeemers have decided to try and institute a special program called Communion to Go. Let's see.
Please. I remember when my grandmother used to take me to Sunday morning church for communion.
We got the voice. Just to be fair to our tech team, I put this on there Friday because the tech team walked me through on how to do that. And obviously he didn't walk me through well enough. Let's see if we can get this. Act it out again, yeah. Let's play the audio if we can't get the video. Oh, yeah, pull it over. Oh. Let's have a song. As soon as we start it, okay. It's not working? Okay. Can you read it? Can you read it?
Jesus loved me.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Little ones
to him belong. Marshall, that's okay. Don't worry about it anymore. Just stop. Well, you give me the mic. I got to go. Okay, just put it on the blank.
I remember when my grandmother used to take me to Sunday morning church for communion. Boy, time sure had...
Okay, I got it.
I remember when my grandmother used to take me to Sunday morning church for communion. Boy, times sure have changed. With soccer practice, birthday parties, church committee meetings, and more, my time is valuable. That's why I choose communion to go.
Thanks, Mom.
Communion to go is the answer to the question, how can I find time for God? By choosing communion to go, the kids get all the benefits of Holy Communion, but without having to bend our schedule around Sunday morning services. With an easy-to-use, leak-free, sealed dispenser, Communion to Go is perfect for picnics, kids' lunch boxes, study time, or even a quiet moment alone. Times may have changed, but with Communion to Go, the Lord's Supper remains an active part of our everyday lives. Thank you, Communion to Go.
Pick up Communion to Go in the processed food department or wherever snack foods are sold. Now available in 3 flavors and fat-free.
Next time, make it sacred. Make it Communion to Go.
I hope that was worth waiting for. Thank you, Marshall. I appreciate that. Think about that. You know, communion to go. Can't you just see pulling up to McDonald's? I'll have a Big Mac. I'll have a Coke. I'll have a little Methodist communion. I'll have some Pentecostal Holy Spirit. And how about some Catholic liturgy to go and make communion fat-free? You know, we chuckle about that. But is that the way we do it sometimes? Oh, we'll have a little religion to go. I've got an hour on Sunday morning, I'll go. And maybe, you know, I've got a little 10, 15 minutes. Maybe I can do a little prayer time or some meditation here. But I've got to do it quick because I've got some other stuff I've got to get done. And what happens when we do that? What happens is we take that central love that God has offered us in Jesus Christ. We take that central piece of really being connected in grace and love that gives our life meaning, and we turn it into a consumer commodity. Now, I don't have anything wrong with the marketplace and buying and selling things. We sell free trade coffee here so people can have a living wage. We offer you to buy cows for the Heifer Project so others can raise those. Nothing wrong with that. It's a wonderful and a powerful system for economics. But if we pull that into our faith traditions, what does it say about us? Let's have a little communion to go. Hey, you know, what about a sermon to go? Give me a little 30 seconds, Pastor Bill. I can do that on the way to work, and I won't have to come to church. How's that for you? What is it we are about as a people of God? Sometimes, if we are about doing what Christ asks us to do, is not just a commodity. I've got an hour I can give and an offering to give on Sunday morning. So, there it is. It's all over. But what happens when we do it that way? You know, what does God offer us? He offers us life and love in all that we do. He offers us those things. And we have to make a commitment to ourselves. What is our priority in our life? And it's not just taking time for a commodity to receive something, a good story from Pastor Bill, a nice song from the organist that we can sing, and maybe a decent prayer or message. No. What does it mean for us to really want life and love? How many of you have been watching any of the Olympics? I was driving in this morning. I heard the closing ceremonies were just happening or are happening now. I assume they're going to show them tonight, right? You know, they can't miss that opportunity to show that, the ratings for that. And I'm looking forward to seeing it because I've always loved the Olympics from the time I was a kid. I always loved the Winter Olympics. I didn't even know what those things were, but I enjoyed watching them. But especially I enjoyed seeing the different flags as a kid. You know, and the different people. There were countries I'd never heard about as a 7 or 8 year old, but I loved to see that. It was just so fascinating on TV. And recently I read this week about an Olympic gold swimmer. And guess who that is? Who? Phelps. Is he a swimmer? Well, I assume we're going to see a lot more of him, and I bet the Wheaties box is going to have his picture on, don't you think? 8 gold medals. But that's not... You know, I was talking about Adolf Kiefer. Don't you know him? You do? What Olympics? 1936. Oh, really? Well, Adolf Kiefer was the backstroke champion. In the 1936 Olympics. Now, do you remember the 1936 Olympics? We all remember really well, don't we? But what do we remember about it? Jesse Owens and Adolf Hitler, right? Owens won all his gold. Hitler refused to meet with him. Adolf Kiefer was of German origin. And so during the practice sessions, guess who came to see him? Adolf Hitler. In an interview he did with Studs Terkel about issues of hope in their life, Adolf Kiefer says he came to see me because he thought I was Aryan. He thought I was part of those people, that evil ideology that was part of the Nazi system. He came to see me because he wanted to know me, and I wouldn't advocate this, but Kiefer said if I'd have known how things were going to work out, I'd have drowned him right there. Kiefer won the backstroke, the record held for 20 years to 1956. And as he was being interviewed by Studs Terkel, you know, Studs, he did the interview right after September 11th, and he said, "What gives you hope in all this?" And Kiefer said, "Being an Olympic champion," he said, "it's the Olympics. I think sports competition is part of the answer. And it's not the athletes. It's not us. But he and his wife said there was something about sitting in the stands watching an event with somebody from Yugoslavia or China or Britain, how we can connect in relationship with each other." That's what he said. That gives me hope. It's not the achievement stuff. It's that we can be with people in a different way, that those who are different from us. It's the relationship stuff. In the gospel lesson today, we hear Jesus to say, "Seek the kingdom of God first." And often we think, well, yeah, pie in the sky, I'll think about God and pray about God, and Lord, who's going to put dinner on my table? Because it kind of says you'll get all those needs. But it doesn't say seek God first, it says seek the kingdom first. And what we know about the kingdom is where love is present, that's the kingdom. Where healing of those who are hurt is present, that's the kingdom. Where people serve others, where people get loved, get help, and offer help, that's the kingdom. And so when we are in service of love, all stuff falls in place. Have you experienced that? I bet you have. But you have to do it in relationships of love and grace. And you have to make that a priority. You have to make that stuff a priority in your life. If not, your schedule will be filled up with stuff that you kind of want to do, and probably it's okay to do. But what happens when you fill it up with that? There's no time for the other stuff. There's a story, a beautiful story I want to tell you. Story about Johnny the Bag Boy. Big stuff. Revolutionary stuff. Well, the story goes like this. There was a woman named Barb Glanz who she did workshops on the Christian faith and Christian mission and ministry. And part of what she talked about is how do we touch people's lives every day where we work. And in the workshop that she did, she put up posters with sayings that inspired people about how they live their life in Jesus Christ. She did this workshop. She left her phone number for everybody who was there saying, "Call me if you have a question about what we talked about or if you have something you want to share with me." She waited about a month. She got a phone call. And on the other end of the line was a young man named Johnny. And Johnny proudly admitted to her, he told her that he had Down syndrome and that he was a bag person at the local grocery store. And he thought he couldn't, as a bag boy, what could he do? But he remembered that during her presentation, she had put up all these sayings around the room. And he sat down with his dad and was trying to think, what can I do as a bag boy? And so him and his dad worked on a plan. Every day when he went into work, he found an inspirational saying. Him or his father typed that out. They've had little sayings. He made 300 copies. He would take the time to cut those copies out. And when people would come through the line, when people would come through his line, he would take one of those little sayings, he would put it in their bag, and he would tell them, "I've put a saying in your bag. I hope it helps you have a good day. Thanks for coming." It's not rocket science. "I put a saying in your bag. I hope it helps you have a good day. Thanks for coming." Well, later on, the guy who owned that store, he noticed that at Johnny's checkout line, the line was really long. And so he got on the PA system. You've been at Jewel, right? We have aisle 3 opening up. You can check out there. Well, he found that he announced aisle 3 or aisle 2 was opening up, and you can check out there, and nobody went over. Now, these are people who have schedules like you and me, right? And what do you do when you go to the grocery store and you're checking out? I mean, go to the fastest one, and somebody pulls out a checkbook in front of you, you kind of curse them, don't you? You're slowing me down here. Come on. We got to get out of here. Don't you? Oh, no, man. And then there's no price tag on something, get a price check. You just say, oh, man, I'm going to the other store. Because you get so rushed in that. These are people who had schedules like you and me. I'm sure they tried to get in the fastest line they could, and they wouldn't go to the other line. And then the store manager went to them. He called Barbara and told her what was happening. The store manager went to them and said, you know, I see you're in a long line here. Went back into the aisle. There's another line opening up, and people told him, you know, I want to be in Johnny's line. I don't mind waiting. Relationship. Kingdom living. It's not rocket science. But it takes time. I don't mind. When's the last time you said that in a grocery store? I don't mind waiting. Now, we could think about that in a different way. And the store manager might have thought to himself, you know, here's a great marketing idea. It's one row. But what if I get one of those signs, you know, it goes across? What if I got one of those signs where we could just type in and we get a saying of the day across and all the lines would get it? We could say, have a good day. There's a saying, in, you know, that you can read right here. What if they did that? Do you think they'd do the same thing? No. It wasn't the saying, was it? What was it? It was Johnny. He took the time to make a touch. He took the time to make it a relationship. He took the time to do some kingdom living with the resources and the time that he had. It was the relationship. That's what it was. And they didn't mind waiting. That is amazing. In the store, as they watched that happen, the lady who ran the flower shop realized, you know, she started thinking about that. As she ran the flower shop, she said, you know, we have these corsages and these nice flowers. When they get a day old, we toss them. And so then, after that, modeling Johnny, she took those corsages and those flowers they're about to throw away. She walked through the aisles. She found ladies who were senior citizens. And she gave them to them. What's that called? Relationship and kingdom living. And is that what you want? Is that what you want? Or do you want to book a schedule that's just filled with stuff to drive and do? And nothing wrong with anything that you do. I'm not saying anything that you do is wrong or bad. It's not. I mean, sometimes they're filled with very good things. But if we let that busy monster get us, where is the time for love and grace? Let me ask you to think of three things today. First and foremost, I want you to reassess what's going on in your life right now. And I'm not talking about devotion to be in worship more, that kind of stuff, or prayer more, or read scripture more. Those are all real good things, and we ought to all be doing more of those. Don't get me wrong with that, or serve more. But reassess the relationships that you have. And are you investing in the significant love possibilities in your life? Those you've known for a long, long time, are those you might want to know in ways of love and grace. Are you doing that? Are you doing it? And some of you may be, and I'm okay with that. But every time I've reassessed in my life, guess what? I've found that I'm not. And I need to make some adjustments. Because it's about the relationship. It's about the relationship. Secondly, I would ask you to do this. Especially those of you that are connected to this church, either by membership or you've made this church your church home, your church family, is that as we gear up in the fall, we have opportunities for people to be engaged in ministry in this place with Sunday school, youth work, some of the service things we're starting to plan now, even for next summer, the worship opportunities that we have. Consider being part of that as being engaged in relationship and loving and serving others. Consider that. Even if the things we have there are filled, we will make a space for you to serve. Not just because we need it, we always do, but because when we do that, we offer people a way of love and grace to be touched by God and each other. Finally, I would ask you to do this. For those of you that did not get a green sheet from last week, how many picked one of these up last Sunday? Please hold your hands high. I assume you've read them all and written a dissertation on each one. Just kidding. If you got one last Sunday, I ask you to read it over, and I hope you did. This week, you know, we have 8 opportunities here on this paper for people to be connected in small groups of fellowship, study, and service. We have at least 5 more opportunities we'll make you aware of as we get into September. I do apologize. I told you I'd have contact information this week, but it did get really busy. And I messed up the video stuff, as you saw. So it's been a rough week. So we didn't get that. We will have that in the next couple weeks. If you picked one up last week, go back to it and circle one you think you might be interested in. I didn't ask you to commit. What might you be interested in? Circle it. That's all. If you didn't get one, pick one up and promise me just to read it. And you can toss it after that if you want to. I'm okay with that. But circle the one you think you might want to get connected to in grace. Because it is life and it is love. It really is our life. And I'm convinced it's not the temptations that seem to be big in our life that pull us away from God. I'm convinced the evil one says, you know, do this. Do this. Do that. Communion on the go. It'll feel like it's okay. You know, you can get your little religion. But we get our religion sometimes when we lose our love. And that leads to death. Promise me this. Reassess. Think about service. And read and circle. And remember Johnny. That's all it took. A touch. Remember Johnny. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many ways you touch our life. We thank you for Scripture and how we can read and understand. We thank you for music that touches our spirit and lifts our hearts. We thank you for stories of faith and how they encourage us and inspire us and sayings of faith. But Lord, we know when you decide to love us, you didn't send a saying. You didn't send a prayer. You didn't send a worship service or a song. You sent a son. You sent a person. So Lord, minimum, help us reassess the loving relationships we are a part of. And help us connect in those ways of love. Because we know, as you have shown us, out of that comes love. And out of that comes life. New life for our time here, but also new life in the next. So open our hearts and minds to your way and help us be those kingdom seekers of love. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please now stand for our final hymn?